welcome to Life in the Rabbit Hole, the Kaneo Parent Pod. I'm Lori Carice, a fellow parent living in the Kaneo Valley, and your host. Thank you for tuning in. For parent pod tales, community matters, and social topics, which include plenty of wellness content. Parenting is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's as difficult as much as it's rewarding, and we've all heard from the beginning of this journey, it takes a village. So join us as we connect through Life in the Rabbit Hole. For everyone, everywhere.
This episode is sponsored by Camp Keystone. Welcome back, summer campers. Registration is open for Camp Keystone's amazing summer programming experiences for kids ages 3 to 15. Visit campkeystone.com for June 14th through August 13th enrollment. Camp Keystone is COVID-19 experience. All guidelines are being met and they're ready to have fun.
Welcome back to our listeners. We're closing out our series on women who rise and inspire with my guest, Lauren LaPointe, who among her many achievements is not only an event producer, angel investor, and competitive ballroom dancer, but she holds over 100 top competitor titles. She is extraordinary and captivating, and I'm so happy I've had an opportunity to get to know her. So welcome, Lauren.
Thank you so much, Lori, for having me. I'm so blessed and inspired to be here and to give my guidance to the listeners.
I'm so grateful for your time as well. So I heard your story and I was very moved. So I asked you to join me today to share it again with our listeners because I feel you are truly fearless. I'm going to step away and mute my mic so that you have the virtual stage and you have the spotlight in leading an audio presentation as the expert on the topic of women who have risen through challenges, because you are, and someone who hopes to inspire others on how to become your own world champion. So take it away, Lauren.
Thank you so much, Lori. Well, as Lori said, I'm going to share you my story. I'm going to share you a story of someone who rode on the coattails of her philanthropic family, someone who lived in the legacy, in the shadows of some very prominent people. My grandmother and my grandfather taught me everything I need to know in the industry of entrepreneurship, in art, and to be humble. Riding on these coattails, I wanted to do something on my own, to be my own person, to not follow in those limelights, even though I had great guidance to guide me in one direction. But what could I do for myself? How can I inspire myself and be the person I want to be? So that being said, it took me to the age of 36 to find this little passion of mine that I actually wanted to learn how to dance. Dancing is great. It's a great outcome, great outlook, something to get away from your everyday life, to spend those few moments in the studio with who you end up calling your best friend, your coach, your teacher, your mentor, the person who teaches you everything in that studio. Many of us have been dancers before. Many of us have had ballet lessons. And our teacher is the one that inspires us. Those principal dancers on the ballet stage. Even if you went to the Nutcracker, how many times as a woman did you want to be the Sugar Plum Fairy or you wanted to be Clara? Well, this was my time. I never really took a ballet dance class. I did a couple gymnastic classes, a few dancing in high school, but I never really learned how to dance. So at 36, I decided to do something that was bizarre. I wanted to actually compete in ballroom dancing. So I found a coach that supported me, trained me for 10 years, and taught me how to become this dancer. He became my best friend, taught me everything I know, every heel turn, every back step in high heels. And I enjoyed it, absolutely enjoyed it. And for 6 years, I worked on a major goal. I worked on a goal to become a world champion. Competition after competition, top trophy after top trophy. I was working my way to get that ultimate goal. Each and every one of us has a goal, has a mission, has something that we want to work for. We make vision boards that show out our life per the year. I made a vision board that is endless. I wanted to be this world champion. Now, what steps did I need to take to make that happen? I had to walk into the studio, meet this person who was my coach. So as a competitive dancer, there was a lot of stereotypes. I was overweight. My coach was smaller than I am, shorter. And I wasn't the best dancer. I didn't have training. So I had to start from scratch. I had to stare these stereotypes in the eye and face them. I heard many times from coaches saying I wasn't perfect for the position. I had to work harder, and they still couldn't promise anything for me. Would that stop me? I didn't want it to. I knew I had something in there. I knew I can work hard. And then as I became the best I can, and as I achieved all these titles to my name, I still didn't have the one I wanted, which I still was working harder and harder for. So comes to 6 years of training. It was the time. It was the time to face that world championship. We were ready. We were prepared, except for one thing. I still was dancing with the shorter guy. So we tried something new. We brought a secondary person into our team. Sean was amazing. I trained with him for about a year and a half, as well as my other coach, to make sure everything was working. And off we went to this world championship. But 2 days prior, I came to Las Vegas. I wasn't living here yet, to do the last minute coaching, the last minute tweaking of what we need to do. The guy I competed with was actually in California still. So he didn't come in, but I trusted him. We worked enough together. I just needed that little momentum from my actual coach that I had the longest, the one that I was with for 6 years. So I'm in Las Vegas. We finally finished our last practice rounds with each other just to make sure I was on point and ready to go. And I was in the parking lot crying my eyes out as I called my coach and he came to see me. And I said, why did you do this? Why did you do this? After 6 years, this man who helped me find my partner for that entry, for that world championship, decided to enter the same championship that I was competing in with his wife. Now, I asked him a couple of days ago before this podcast if he remembered it. And of course he doesn't, because it wasn't that important to him. Yes, he wanted to help me achieve my goal, but it really wasn't important to him for the fact that he wasn't doing it with me. So I told him, we're going back to the time I was crying in the car. I told him he had a choice he had to make, and he had to choose wisely. Choose wisely. A 6-year relationship with someone who supported you, you supported me, and you will let that go away. As I'm sitting here crying my eyes and realizing that this is the brick wall that steps in front of me, it's a speed bump on the dance floor that I had to hurdle over. Why would he want to be there when he said he wanted to give me this championship? And he was the one who helped me find my partner to dance with. I had no idea why he did it. I didn't ask. I just told him to choose. So off I went. He actually went with me. He drove with me from Las Vegas to California. I had to hold those tears in. I had to hold that nervousness in. I was mad. But I did get the answer I wanted. He pulled his wife. That was the smartest decision on his half. So I go off to that championship. I prepare myself, trying to forget about everything that this guy who I trusted in me did to me at that moment. And I give all my hopes and my dreams and my energy into my new partner for that day. We go off into the dance floor and we take hold with each other and the music starts playing and he has to hold me up mentally, not physically, because I worked hard to carry myself on the floor with his guidance and direction and leadership, as ballroom dancing is about leading and following. But I was a mental wreck from what has happened 2 days prior. My head was not in it, but my body took over. My training took over. The music read into me, and I competed the best I could. Did I know what this outcome was going to be? Did I know what I was going to place at that moment? I had no idea. I pretended I had no idea who was dancing around me. I tried to get all the other competitors to disappear. And I just was in the music and with my partner and the goal that I had to dance the very best I could, to be the very best I could, because of all the training I went through, all the studying I went through, trying to follow my fellow competitors that were being in that championship with me, not knowing who they were until I walked on that floor, but studying, doing my research, doing my homework, and of course, crying right before your final exam. We all know what that feels like. We all know what the stress is. And that's what I was carrying on that floor. So the heat ended, as that's what we call it, that championship. And I walked off the floor and many people said I did great. Even the coach that I've been with for 6 years and still am with said it looked great. But you never know the results of the judges. You never know what the stereotype would be. Did I find the taller partner is what they wanted, or did they want me to compete with the same person that they saw me with for 6 years? It's a big gamble. So time goes by and they calculate the results, and I'm standing there on the floor waiting for my results, and they called up the third place winner, and they called up the second place winner, and then my name was called. I won it. I won that world championship. Was I excited? Absolutely. I hit my ultimate goal, but there was something missing. I smiled. I was happy. I had tears of joy starting to build in my eyes as I stood on the podium. I took the flowers in one of my arms. I took the trophy in the other hand, and I could feel the metal around my neck of the weight of all the hardships that I had to go through to get to that very moment. The national anthem played. And you know, every Olympian champion went through my eyes and my thoughts, and I could see myself there. Even though I was a student in this industry and I'm dancing with a professional, we got to feel the same energy that a professional who works hard, strives hard, achieves and dreams those wishes and goals. I had the same feelings, but I couldn't shake that thought of what my coach did to me. It was very hard. So as I stepped off the podium, as they get ready to call the next line of winners, I walked off the dance floor, and there was my coach, the one that I was with for 6 years, the one that I had passion for, strength with, guided me, held my hand, the one that became my speed bump, was standing there. He wrapped his arms around me and pushed down, and I could feel the weight of his hug that was even heavier than the metal I was wearing on my neck. And I knew that he really cared. Even though we had those hurdles, even though he gave me that speed bump taught me so much. It taught me how to take this into my everyday life. It taught me how, no matter what you do, what job you do, what entrepreneurship career you create, what thing comes in your personal life, if you get that speed bump, if you get that brick wall that comes in your way, that is a sign. It's a sign that the universe is telling you to keep going. You can't achieve a win. You can't achieve anything without feeling heartbreak. Without feeling, it's not gifted to you. You have to work hard for it. As I learned this at this very moment. And one thing I say to each and every one of you who hits that speed bump or achieves that goal once it's deserved to you, and you get up on that podium and your career is the best career you ever had, and you're getting complimented and you're winning all the accolades, no matter what, if they are trophies, if they're awards, or you just have someone say, that's amazing. That's an accolade. But one thing I want you to remember is when you receive that trophy, no matter what it is, It could be a trophy of your child winning a soccer game, a trophy of your child dancing their first recital and doing pretty well. Doesn't matter the level of it. I want you to remember that you, as an entrepreneur, you as someone who is aspiring to do your research, do your homework, train like you're in that studio. And once you're on the top, I want you to be humble. Take those people with you. Guide those people with you. Let them learn from your path, like I'm giving you all my secrets here. And that's how you can be your own world champion.
Thank you, Lauren. You are a champion, and you are a woman who inspires.
Thank you so much for listening today. And please subscribe to our podcast so that you can be alerted each time we drop a new episode. For bonus content, be sure to join us as a member and receive Green Room Diaries, After the Final Cut, Confessions of a Canoe Valley Mom, as well as our exclusive wellness workshops. From one parent to another, we've got this. Just believe in yourself and remember, we're our own worst critics. Tell yourself and another that they're doing a good job.